fellowship and being my special brother and sister in Jesus. If you're visiting with us, we're glad that you're here. I'd like to invite you back at any time, but more importantly, we'd like to help you to know who your God is. And if you don't know even what that means, we'd love to sit down with you with the revealed Word of God and see what He tells you about yourself, about God, about life, about existence, about where you're going when you die. These are really important things. We'd love to help you to understand what God has revealed to us. Well, we have a theme this year of caring and sharing, and that has to do with having a spirit where we care like God. We have that love of God in our hearts, and we want to be helpful to others, and we want to serve others. We want to serve our fellow brothers and sisters. We want to serve those that are in the world. We want to try to teach the gospel to those that are in the world. And thus, we come to the idea of share, that we want to be people who care about the things of God, care about the lost, and are wanting to share them, the things that God has given, so that others can know the things that we know that are so very beautiful. With this, we kind of have the direction of God's search and rescue and God's plans and God's tools. We are God's tools. We talk about this year a lot about us being God's tools and, of course, about God's plans. We are trying to commit to our minds these things so that we can then go out and share as we care about others. Today's lesson really has to do with that. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all your mind." And we brought this up here 3 or 4 weeks ago. I talked a little bit about it, about Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, 4 through 6, which this is based upon. But I'd like us to think about one particular thing today, and that is the idea that Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your mind." I'm going to pause for a moment and let you think about what that might mean. Have you ever really thought about loving God with all of your mind? Let's talk about that to some degree or another. I believe that we as Christians sometimes kind of have like a romantic love feel or a fairy tale feel about our love for God, that, you know, I fell in love with this guy, I fell in love with this girl, and, you know, we as humans, we have that romantic thing, and you fall into something, and it has nothing to do with what we reason or think about or any objectives. It just kind of happened, and now I have my heart all wrapped up in it. And I think that's kind of how sometimes we think about our relationship with God, but it's so much more with God. It's actually a very hands-on thing when it comes to loving God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. It very much is something that is very much based upon what's going on here, up here in our brain and our mind, that then goes on through the affections of the heart and into the fabric of our being, of the soul. So let's just talk about a few things, but we'll have to come back to this, because loving God with your mind, it's a very serious part of what we do as Christians. So let's think about some things that would be applications of loving God with our minds. Now, we realize that the mind is a very important part of our Christianity, correct? God didn't say, you know, just follow wherever your feet lead and wherever you wind up, then it's okay. Really, everything that we turn to in the Scripture has to do with using our minds to understand God and to make decisions for God. And of course, we realize this very important aspect that God wants us to be seekers of truth. People who seek truth. This is a brain thing, isn't it? This is a mind thing. This is an analytical thing. This is a judgment thing where we take different values and we compare them together and we listen to what authority says and what the true values are. But we seek truth. Jeremiah 5 and verse 1 knew the problem. Jeremiah knew the problem. Run to and fro, as God says this, run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See and know, and seek in her open places if you can find a man, if there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth. And I will pardon Judah. Now that's a really serious charge, isn't it? Go out and find one person seeking for truth out there in Judah, and I'm not going to destroy Judah. Jeremiah is the doom and gloom book. God says, I'm going to destroy Judah. Lamentations is what follows up. I destroyed Judah, and now here's the suffering of the people. We have this idea, but how important is it we be seekers of truth, that when we love God with all of our mind, tied to this is using our mind to try to find the truth. And we, as human beings, sometimes are very thrilled just to live with something that's not truth. And it can be tied to a lot of other things. It can be tied to our culture, importance in culture, principles in culture, principles in family, principles according to what I desire and just want to accomplish in life. And what I choose to believe and to follow out really is related to one of those or several of those things. But God says when you need to be somebody who loves God with all of your mind. Loving Him with your mind means that you're going to be applying your mind to the things of God. You're going to be thinking about the things in the world, and you're going to be analyzing those things, and you're going to be making comparisons, and you're going to be making choices. I don't want the things of error. I want the things of God. Loving God with all of your mind requires that we be somebody who seeks truth. Secondly, of course, what follows with that is a reasoning power, a reasoning for decision. To use our mind seeking truth so that we can come then, getting the platform of knowledge and such, so we can reason, and we can then come to the point of knowledge of what I need to do. Isaiah 1 verse 18, come and let us reason together, Isaiah said. And he said that to a faithless people. Come on, let's think about these things. Let's get the facts together. Let's get the truth together, seek the truth, and let's reason about these things. That's a matter of using your mind, isn't it? Now, we realize that in any other job function, you have to do this. And whatever you do, you have to use your reasoning to make decisions, right? And to make proper decisions. You have to use proper reasoning, and you have to seek the right thing to do. You have to seek process, right procedures. And all this comes together, and we realize this is so important in life, but we realize how important it is to love in loving God with a whole mind, that we use our minds to reason and to come to the proper decisions, what God would like for us to do. John, the third chapter, we see Nicodemus, of course, who had this, a ruler of the Jews, very different from the other religious hierarchy of the time. This was a good man. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. And we see this, of course, all over the scriptures. But God is simply teaching us, don't let your mind go numb and just numb through life. You know what I mean? Many people are numbing through life. Get on your device and numb through life. Watch whatever media there is and numb through life and numb into the coffin and numb into eternity. You don't want to numb into eternity. Seek truth. Use your mind to reason for decision. God says, Jesus gives a key to life right here. You better invest your heart in your God. You better invest your soul in your God. You better invest your mind in your God, or else you're not going to get the life that God promises to those who find that truth and the righteous and spiritual values of God. But we need to love them with all our mind from this standpoint, that we are always in a watchful observation. Now, through this lesson, think about all the different directions that the mind, there are many more, that the mind has to be functioning, as we have to think about loving God with a mind as we are carrying forth in our Christianity. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. There's using your mind. Use your mind. What will that device do to you? What are you looking at on that device? Is that good for you? You know, what kind of habits are you getting into? We talked about last week, I think it was. You know, what kind of habits are you getting into on your device? What do you see out here in the world that's getting in the way? How is this affecting your mind? What's the world doing to your mind? What's the world doing to your children? What are your habits doing to your children? What's happening in your family? What's happening in your mind, in your life? We have to be people who are always in a watchful observation. You know, right now we've got this health issue that's going throughout the world that began in China. Now, you know, it's in the United States. And what are people doing? Wow, they're watching this, aren't they? They're observing this. And now People are putting their masks on. You have people walking around with masks on because they are in a very watchful observation here. We don't want to catch that. They're taking great precaution. They know it's out there. They've learned that it's out there, and now they're responding to that. And we have to do the same thing because Satan's trying to destroy our soul. All that junk that we see on social media, all those rotten attitudes that come our way, all that stuff we go to see in entertainment, all the stuff on TV, there's a lot of junk in that. And we can numb our way through life just embracing that junk. And that'll numb your mind. Just watch, you know, and even old shows. And you can go back to the 60s and watch a bunch of trash that are mind numbers. They will numb your mind, you know. And we know that this has continued today. We can't let that happen. We have to live in a watchful observation. And that's part of loving God with all of our mind. I have to love Him with my mind. I have to keep my mind active all the time on God, analyzing, watching, observing. Because if I don't, Satan will grab hold of my mind and I'll drop away from God. And that's the way it works. Of course, we have to use our mind in searching for opportunity, and that's what we're looking at this year, right? We want to increase our vigilance of looking for opportunity around us, and we have to do that. Colossians 4 and verse 5, walk in wisdom towards those that are outside, redeeming the time. Or as other versions say, buying up the opportunity. Buy the opportunity. Don't waste it. Don't look at it and say, well, I'll give that a 9, but I'm looking for a 10 before I grab the opportunity. Grab the opportunity. That's what we're trying to really get on top of in our lives, and even here at Hickman as a group of disciples following Jesus. If we are searching for opportunity, it means that our mind's always in gear for Christ, right? That's what we're talking about. The mind is always in gear for Christ. So easy in life to have our mind in gear for all kinds of other things, and then Jesus is a little add-on over here where we think about Him sometimes. And I think we really have things reversed. Jesus should have the priority of where our mind should be, and sometimes we have to kick in some other stuff in life because we have to live in life. You have to have a job. You have to change a tire on your car. You have to do these things. But really, Jesus should be that default that's always in our minds. God should be in our minds always. Our minds should be always be in gear in some way or another regarding God. Searching opportunity is a big piece of this. And when we start looking in this direction, we see all kinds of opportunity out there. You know, when we kick our mind into gear looking for opportunity, we see all kinds of opportunity. Where's the opportunity? There is much opportunity. All right, it's all a part of using our minds. We, of course, know that we have to love God with all of our mind and having a constant self-analysis. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Oh, please memorize that scripture. Examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. Because we know we may not be, but we think we are. And so here's the use of our mind. There's always this constant examination. You know, where am I? Am I what I should be? The self-analysis of comparing myself with the Word of God and His righteousness, and then the decisions of my life, the status of my life, the thoughts that dominate me. You know, what's going on? Again, we get back to the constant working of the mind, looking at where we are, making sure that Jesus Christ is where He should be in our hearts. Knowledge, of course. A lot of this dovetails together. We realize there's a linkage through a lot of this. But knowledge, of course, is a function of the mind working all the time, right? 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the end of 2 Peter, which has the theme of knowledge. You need to grow. 1 Peter, hope. 2 Peter, knowledge. 1 Peter, here's where you want to go. 2 Peter, here's how you get there. They both talk about both, but theme-wise, we can see what's going on. Theme-wise, you need to gain knowledge. You need to grow. You add to your faith, the first chapter, knowledge. And such knowledge, as we see the idea of gnosis, and then we have epinosis that God uses. And epinosis, being more detailed, not just pleased with general ideas and concepts, kind of like someone who knows nothing about football except they well, there's that little thing that they hike and they kind of toss it down the field, and I know a little bit about football now. Well, that's knowledge, but that's not, it's not epi-knowledge. It's not what God's looking for. God is telling us, after all, if we love the Lord with all of our mind, our mind's going to go somewhere in its knowledge database, correct? We come back to database here in just a moment. In fact, right now, we have to enlarge our database of knowledge from the standpoint of our commitment tools, right? We have to gain this knowledge. We have to learn these things that we will think about when we are faced in temptation. We have to have Jesus always in our mind, what he did in facing temptation and how he overcame, and the commitment tools of prayer, which we'll see again here in just a moment. All these things, and memory verses that are very important. We'll talk about memory verses here in just a moment. But all of these things are a function of the mind. When you love God with all of your mind is going somewhere. Your mind is growing in knowledge. Your mind is growing in the commitment tools that God offers in his word to make you strong through every circumstance in life so that you never fall away from God. But we come back to Matthew 22:37. If we are not loving God with all of our mind, then there's a whole lot of room in our mind for other junk to live, for Satan to work, for God not to get his pillars in there for strength, for Satan to get his pillars in there instead, and just kind of pull us away from God. Here is a point of concentration and focus for us to love God with all the mind. Your word I have hidden in my heart, Psalm 119 and verse 11. And that is taking this, the Word of God, it's a effective thing. Hey, if it's an effective thing, that I need to be taking it and growing in it and getting that stuff deep down inside me so I can have victory whenever I'm facing the troubles, strife, and temptation of life. We also need to enlarge the database of our works tools. And we realize that God will make us complete, Hebrews 13:21, unto every good work. But that doesn't happen just by, I'm a Christian now, aren't I complete unto every good work? No, that happens when I want to apply myself to becoming a worker for him. When I want to apply myself becoming a servant for him, God will complete me in that every good work. I will get better at what I do. When I commit myself to doing a work for God, I will learn the things I need to learn. I will gain the experiences that I need to go in that particular direction. And I will find my database enlarged. And we all know how these things go as far as your job is concerned, right? You can take these things and apply them right now to your job. You know how they work. You enlarge your database. You get somebody on board, doesn't know anything. They just got the new job and you have to train them. And you're thinking how big your database is, how good you are at what you do, how quickly you can do it, and how you can go, your brain goes all the way down and right now spits out an answer what to do, and this person that you're trying to train, 1 plus 1, you know, well, we're trying to get there. This is where we want to go as Christians, so that we are complete in every good work. We know we're able to function, and we have this stuff built in. But what do you have to do to get there? You see, loving God with all your mind, again, is not some waiting for some spirit to kind of hit you, and now I feel like it, like that romantic love in a fairy tale. It is a very hands-on thing. How is it that I get the enlargement of my database? That takes a very able, efficient, working, growing, busy mind, right, to make that happen. And it will grow in these things as we make it happen. But we have to make these things happen. We have to realize my mind has got to be a lot more active about the things of God. And that actually may be cementing my pathway to heaven, perhaps, if there has been any doubt. Of course, the mind is going to be busy in prayer. Paul said, pray without ceasing, and he was one who followed that, because as he told the Romans, I pray without ceasing regarding you. The Ephesians, I do not cease to give thanks for you. The Colossians, I do not cease to pray for you. And Timothy, without ceasing, I remember you. Paul had a prayer list going on, and he didn't forget. He must have been pretty busy in his mind. Didn't his mind vacate and just kind of pull spiritual things in once in a while? I probably should think about this. His mind was going all the time. That's, of course, that's in harmony with the Paul that we know in so many other ways. prayer is something that we do, and we are busy in prayer. Important things to accomplish in prayer. God's given you power. He has empowered you as a follower of God to accomplish things in this life through prayer. That's amazing. You're not God, but He's given us the power. We need to be praying because we need to love the Lord our God with all of our mind. And really what we're looking at is just having a mind that's always engaged in the things of God. Psalm 1 and 2, in His law, here's one that meditates, the psalmist says, day and night on the law of God. And so, you know, you come home and you're tired and I know the feeling. You just want to, you know, mind's going all day long. You know, you come home and you just want to chill. I don't want to use my brain now. I know that. Let's put on a movie and we'll kind of vacate for a while and kind of get that mind, you know, kind of give it a little bit of vacation. But we can actually live this kind of a life wherein our mind is really busy very little for the things of God. Really, our mind should always be in gear in some way or another about the things of God. And when we do this, of course, we kick Satan out of our lives, don't we? If you're always thinking about the things of God, how to accomplish, how to grow, how you can do this better, how others should do this better, how you can be, what you need to do for so-and-so and all, if your mind's always there, loving God with all of your mind, you don't have much time for Satan to be working in you, right? This is really vital. Love God with all of the mind. With that, let's start doing some more memory work together. Memory work is something that we can do with our minds, loving God with all of our minds, right? And I know what you say because it's what I say as soon as I hear memory work. Oh, no. Memory work? You mean learn a memory verse? And I remember it's what I said when I was 8 years old as well. You know, we kind of say that all of our lives. But wait a minute, I'm supposed to love God with all of my what? I'm supposed to have my gears clicking all the time anyway, right? What if it takes me a long time to learn a memory verse? Wow, what a waste of time. Is that how we're going to say it? Or is my mind supposed to be in gear anyway about the things of God? What if it takes me 2 hours to learn a memory verse? Well, aren't I supposed to be clicking along anyway about these things in my mind? Let's kind of think about, you know, our memory in a new way, and let's try to put the things of God. There are many things that people put forward on how to memorize. There are some things very helpful, like reading it and understanding the verse before you try to memorize it. By relating it to your life and to the text, why is this text important? Why is this verse important to the text? Sometimes that will do a lot for you helping you to remember what's in the verse. Read it 10 times. Write it down twice or 10 times. Quote it twice or 10 times. Put it in a card. People sometimes put it in their pocket. They take it out or put it on your device. You can make your own database if you're into apps and stuff, of course, and you can make your own daily or 3 or 5, 10 verses that will pop up at various times. You can, as we'll look at in a minute, you can learn the words of emphasis in a verse to help not learning all the words, but they kind of link the thoughts together in a verse. The daily review of never letting go of a verse. And again, being all right to take as much time possible as learning the Word of God as much time as necessary to learn the Word of God. So if it takes you a week to learn a verse, that's okay, because your mind's supposed to be clicking in the Word of God, right? So you go to bed 15 minutes early and you work on a verse. Your mind's supposed to be there anyway, right? Got to go to bed, read, remember, learn a verse, pray, think about spiritual things. Think about what needs to be improved in your life. Who does this now anyway? It's what we're supposed to do, right? So it's all right to spend a whole lot of time learning the Word of God. And it's all right to spend a whole lot of time memorizing, because what did Jesus say? You shall love the Lord your God with all of your mind. Apply your mind to the things of God. So we take John 3:16. I brought that up early because everybody already knows it, right? You know this one. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever does what? Believes, should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And we realize that these are key words in here. God, loved, Son, believes, life. You can learn to get good at what you do, what works for you. Maybe you can take linkage words and learn a verse with a lot less effort. but still be able to recall that verse. Or maybe you can, maybe you get to the point where you don't even have to know all those words in between. Just to think about this is to bring all those concepts into your mind and have that verse ready for you to use in your mind. John 3:16, you should know that. 1 John 3 and verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has given to us, bestowed upon us, depending on your version, that he should call us children of God. Wow. You know, that's a verse about love and the Father and the privilege of being a Christian that you should have in your heart. And, of course, it's something that you want to learn. And, again, you know, there are just key words in this, love. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And you can learn these very abbreviated portion of the passage. But there are a couple of verses. Learn them this week if you don't know them already, because they should be in your commitment department anyway. They should be in your commitment database. But we'll be doing more work, because I want to increase my own load as far as memory verses is concerned, memory work is concerned. And I've been too pleased with knowing territory rather than knowing verses by heart. I know where things are. I can refer to the concepts in a whole lot of places, but I haven't given as much attention to actually learning the quotation of the verse as I should. Now, if you just can't learn to quote the verse, then do that. Get to the point where you learn a text so well that you can still go down through the text in your mind, like a chapter in Ephesians 1, and you can tell what the concepts are in that chapter, because that'll be very useful to you. You can draw that up when you're studying with somebody, and if you just can't get that quoting down, you can do other things to make the Word of God very useful to you. But let's work on these things. Now, by the way, we do have some tools that have been given to us. The shepherds have passed this out that has to do with you making a decision of your mind. It relates kind of a little bit to what we're saying, but I was out. I think, did you go over this, Steve, or whoever had announcements, the form? This is a form for everybody to fill out. It's a willingness form of what you're willing to do: teach a Bible study, host a Bible study, attend an informal group Bible study. Would you like to see a ladies' class started? Some questions on here for you to think about, but some things that have to do with the rubber hitting the road and the moving to the future, and really time for you to make a decision in your mind. Are you going to go forward in the things of God or not? Do you really want to go forward in the things of God and increase your capacity and your efforts for God, or do you really not? And, you know, when it comes to checking off something on a piece of paper, sometimes that kind of tells you where you are. I'm willing to teach a Bible study. No. Well, that says something, doesn't it? I'm willing to attend an informal group Bible study. No. Why would you ever be able to put a no there? Maybe you're going to. Maybe you're going to leave it blank, but that's a no if you leave it blank, right? What's going to be your answer here? Think about these things, but the elders are asking you to fill these out, turn these in, so we'll know what's going on as a group for some of the things that would have to do with the church down the road. So fill that out, and to make sure that you get your name on it. That will be really, really important. And by the way, it is important to be hospitable. The use of your home is in part of this sheet. A bishop must be hospitable. 1 Peter 3 and verse 2. It means friendly to strangers. We see it applied to brethren as well. 1 Peter 4 and verse 9, be hospitable one to another without grumbling. I like Proverbs 3 and verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions. Honor the Lord with your house. Honor the Lord with what you have. Are you willing to use your home to have Bible studies and such, or use your home to glorify God? The answer to that should be yes, but please think about that. And what is your answer going to be? So please fill that out. Also, as another opportunity today, as we're kind of making the rubber hit the road, but I have put some of these in the back. This is a little, this is an abbreviated Bible study that I'm willing to work with. If you want to change it up for your own personal use in some other way, that'd be fine. But Life Awaits, it's the sort of thing that, you know, if when you go out to eat and you leave a tip, you could leave this with it. You can hand it to people when you're walking by them. You can give it to someone you're checking out from at the store. You can pin it to a bulletin board. It's basically about six squares of Bible teaching and diagram. You recognize some of it from another booklet that we have had, but it's a very simplified form. And on the back is a place, it's got the address of the church, it has the times that we meet, and also a place for you to put your phone number, not Denny's phone number. I mean, that'd be fine. I mean, but this is the point for you to make contact, right? This is for your phone number. And so I put a bunch of these in the back. We'll make more. We actually, our copier started to not copy well when I started the second run of these. So we'll have to have the copier worked on. But I put a bunch of them out there. Take a few, and I'm going to let you fold them, by the way. It's just a two-fold thing with this thing here in front. And all you do is you make a fold, and that's that. But it's just a very easy way, you know, just pass it out to people. You know, hey, we meet over here, group of Christians. We believe in God. Here's some things to think about. But if you do use it to leave with your tip, make sure you don't leave a dollar tip when you do that. And I know some of you do that. Some of you don't even leave a tip whatsoever, right, when you walk out. It better be a nice tip. And it better be something where you say, this is for Jesus, and so whatever you usually give, you're going to add $1 or $2 more because you want this to get noticed. And, you know, something about money will make people notice this, I guess, in some way or another. Something to think about anyway. So think about that. We need to redeem the time. The elders have also encouraged us to go in this direction. You have some slips out here. For all of the people that you invite to services this week, or you attempt to have Bible studies with, or you had a Bible study with somebody, you passed out one of these and made a contact to. If you can write that down, make sure you write that down, and put everything on one slip and put it in the box back here. And what we're going to do is, starting in 2 weeks after we have a count next week, we'll begin to keep a tally about how many people have been invited, how many people have been contacted, and the challenge is for us, how quickly will we hit 1,000 people that have been contacted? How quickly will we hit 3,000? And of course, if we start multiplying the numbers out here and using math to look at 1,000 people, we realize it wouldn't take too long, right? If everybody's doing several a week, it really wouldn't take too long to hit 1,000. It wouldn't take too long to hit 3,000. So if you will, every Sunday morning when you come in, fill out this slip and put it back there in the box, put your name on it, how many people you came in contact with, and we can tally those and get those on the announcement PowerPoint that we use on Sunday mornings. Oh, one more thing. We also have a new supply of these for, you know, you've got a friend that's really searching. Here's an opportunity to read, you know, maybe they do like to do some reading. You're familiar with Muscle and Shovel, that the elders have increased our supply back there, so be willing to use that. You know, they do cost money. If you're just going to go pass them out on the street, you're going to have to consider buying a lot more, but that would be fine, you know, if you did that as well. So, but the bottom line today is that we want to glorify God, and we want the rubber to hit the road, we want to become disciples, we're trying to make a difference, and we can start that in a small way, right? Even if it is, you know, hi, I'm Denny, I'd like to invite you to services. Or even if it's at the cashier and say, man, you're having a hard day, aren't you? You know, Jesus offers you something here. And leave that with him. Let's be thinking about how we can use our opportunities, use our minds for God, because we want our brains to click all of the time for the things of God, right? Whenever you think you're ready for a vacation from thinking, well, we all have to kind of let go of our mind sometimes, I understand, but maybe Jesus stays kicked out of our mind too much. Let's make him truly a priority. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the challenge is for each of us to determine where we need to go in loving Jesus, loving God, with all of our mind. You need to obey the Lord. Use this opportunity right now. Together we stand and as we sing.